Oh, you guys, it's a bronze medal life. Bronze Medal Lifers, it's me, Colleen Lindstrom, and I'm here to hang out with you for the next few minutes for this week's podcast, the Bronze Medal Life podcast. For those of you who are new here, first of all, welcome and thank you for showing up. The Bronze Medal Life is all about putting down that pursuit of perfection, that thing that we've always been chasing that is completely unattainable. And just being present in the here and now in your life, you'd be amazed. In fact, I often am amazed at how much calmer and more joyful I'm allowed to be and able to be when I stop worrying about being perfect, about worrying about what people think of me. And I start just being present in the moment and being okay, just being okay. And that is oftentimes the best we can do. So at the Bronze Medal Life, we promote average. Yay! Yay for average! Before I get to today's topic, I just thought of this. I came out of nowhere, so I'm throwing it in. There's an outlet, like a clothing outlet here in the Twin Cities called Opitz Outlet. And there used to be, I don't know if it's still there, I haven't driven by in a long time, there used to be a sign in the front window that said, hooray for damages and flaws, because Opitz Outlet is a place where very nice designer clothing gets resold or sold when it has a damage or a flaw, things that like didn't pass quality control, end up at Opitz, and then you can shop at Opitz and look like you have all the monies, and but only you know that there's a damage or a flaw to that item. So I loved Opitz, but I also love that sign, hooray for damages and flaws, because I'm like, yes, I want that on a t-shirt. Maybe I'll make it. Watch out. Shop for your hooray for damages and flaws t-shirt at thebronzemetallife.com. Okay, hold on. Now I have to write that on my list, because listen, I have ideas all the time, but then I never remember to write them down, and so then they never happen. Okay, so I'm writing. Hold, give me a second. Hold on. I hope you're still with me. Hold on. Hooray for damages and flaws t-shirt. Got it. Hopefully that'll be up by the time this is out, so you can shop for that hooray for damages and flaws t-shirt at thebronzemetallife.com in the shop section. Okay, so I've always loved that sign because, I don't know, I think I always have felt that way. We're all a little damaged and all a little flawed. And wouldn't it be great if we celebrated that rather than nitpicking at it and trying to change it? So hooray for damages and flaws. Thank you for showing up this week at the Bronze Medal Life podcast. Okay, so onto the like actual topic that we came here today to worry about. Not to worry about. We're not worrying about it. We're thinking about it. We're marinating in it. And that is that sometimes your bronze medal is somebody else's gold. And I have to write this down too. Oh, you guys, it's a bronze medal life. Because I don't want to forget what I said. Okay. So your bronze is somebody else's gold. Okay, so here's the story. This is actually based on a real, I thought about this in this real life moment. My husband and I were so lucky with the assistance of many who supported us in being able to do this. We were able to hop a plane and run out to Las Vegas for a couple days to go see the final show of U2 at the Sphere in Las Vegas. And yes, it was as spectacular as you can imagine. And we were just really lucky, pinching ourselves the whole time. And so thankful for the family members who all showed up and backed us up so that we could go and do that. And trust me, it does take a village because we have three children. I'm also the caregiver for a parent in assisted living. And so, you know, when we go out of town, it's not just like, I mean, who is this? Who does this apply to? But it's not like we just grab our bags and run. We have to do a lot of pre-planning, and a lot of people have to displace themselves in order to make it work. So we don't take it for granted at all. So we're at the airport, and we're getting ready to go. We're going through security. There is no getting ready to go through security. You're either in it or you're not. So we're in the security line, and we're at the metal detector. And you know, we've all put our goods on the belt, and it's sucking through the machine. And you know, there's two belts that share one metal detector walkthrough. So there's two lines merging to walk through the metal detector as our bags go along the belt. And there's a woman in front of me. Now, first of all, you need to know about me. I am a terrible line picker. Like, don't say to me when there's seven lines, don't say to me, hey, why don't you pick where we go? Because I will just pick the slowest line. Like, that's just a given. It'll look like it's going to be the fastest, but it's never the fastest. So anyway, so we're in what is already now a slow line, but there's a woman in front of me who has a toddler. And I'm going to say the toddler had to have been, you know, older than one, but younger than two. So, you know, probably one and a half-ish, in a carrier. And then in a stroller, she had her dog, and it was just her. And she was adorable. And she had like these adorable, like combat boot, like Doc Martin style kind of high boots. You know, she's wearing leggings and a flowy shirt, and she just looks really like adorable put together. And she's got a kid and a dog, and she's right in front of me. Well, she goes through the metal detector, and the metal detector is like, try again. So she turns back around. She's got the kid and the dog with her and the stroller. She takes the... I don't remember if she couldn't have taken the stroller through the first time. So anyway, she gets the dog out. She takes off a couple things. She's got the kid on her hip and the dog on a leash, and everybody has to like go through separately, which is just ridiculous, right? But she tries again, and it beeps again. For the next, I'm going to say 3 to 5 minutes, the line is piling up behind her because nobody can go until she's all sorted out. And she's going through this thing in various arrangements of just her with the kid running behind her and the dog like sniffing somebody's leg halfway down the line, right? And then like throwing the dog through, and then the dog keeps running. And so then she has to run after, and then the toddlers. I can't even tell you the level of chaos that this appeared to be. And how stressful I felt like it had to have been for her. Eventually, she ends up having to take... We're in the TSA pre-check line, so this is why she didn't have to take off her shoes to begin with. But then now she's like undoing her shoes. Toddler and dog are running around. People are kind of trying to help and corral. Nobody knows the dog's name, so we can't get the dog. But the dog is very well behaved. But she finally eventually gets the boots off, and sure enough, it was probably the steel toe in the boots that was setting this thing off. And the line is piling up, and I was sort of trying, I mean, I was calm in this situation, number one, because I didn't have a dog or children with me, and it was just my husband and me, and we had plenty of time. And so, you know, we were sort of patiently waiting, and I was sitting there thinking, you know, on a different day, if I felt like I was in a rush, I don't think I would be present right now. I think I'd be annoyed. But also, what would that do, right? You're in the situation you're in. So I was able to just kind of take a deep breath, and I started to look around because I was wondering, like, how are other people reacting to this? And this was the beautiful moment that I found us in. Everybody was like all hands on deck, super empathetic to this woman. And everybody was calm and just waiting for, and kind of delighted by the toddler and the dog a little bit. But this whole play that was taking place in front of us, and I did, you know, I was doing like three things at the same time, right? Like, I was thinking about how I would feel if I were in a rush. I was thinking about how are other people feeling. And then I thought, how is she feeling in this moment? Because you have been there. And I know as I'm telling you the story, I'm sure you're all like putting yourselves in that position, right? Like everything is piling up behind you, and you are the thing that is holding the line up. Like you can feel that stress. And she was clearly a little frazzled, but mostly nonplussed. And I was so impressed with the way she calmly was directing the dog, calmly directing the toddler, and how everybody was just pulling for her in the moment. And I think one person in the crowd even said, like, can you just cut her a break? Like, obviously, like, she's cooperating and she's fine. But they, you know, to the credit of TSA, they did their due diligence. They had to do what they had to do. They've got policies. They can't just cut a person a break. So, you know, they're doing it. they're getting through it. So literally this took about 3 to 5 minutes, this whole scene. And we get through and she's, you know, on the other side trying to gather her bags, put things back in the stroller. I mean, she had to take off the dog's harness and the dog's leash, and the kid had to get out of the carrier and the stroller and the whole thing. So she's kind of putting Humpty Dumpty back together, and she's got her bags like sitting on the belt, and you know, and I wrote about this a different time on my Substack, which you can go back and read past Substacks at thebronzemedallife.com. But I wrote about that feeling of like when you see somebody who's clearly just like impressing you with their ability to be present and amazing in a high pressure situation. I always want to tell them, I see you, especially because I could be really empathetic to it. I never have traveled with a dog, but I've traveled with toddlers, and I've traveled with twin toddlers and a child on the autism spectrum. And it can be a lot. So I thought, I'm going to tell her. I'm just going to tell her. And also I want to ask her if she needs help. So, you know, I kind of stopped her and I just said, you know, can I help you with anything? You know, you look like you have your hands full, and I'm sure that was super stressful. And she was so kind as she's trying to put combat boots on while she's holding a child and a dog on a leash. And she says, no, I think we've got it. We're okay. My husband's at the other checkpoint. And this was just, you know, a little bit more than we anticipated. And she said it so calmly, and she said it in such a way that I just admired her ability to be in that moment and not worried about other people and what other people were thinking. And maybe she was, I don't know, but certainly not outwardly. She looked like she had her stuff together to the best of her ability in a situation like that. And I just said, well, I said, listen, you're doing great. You're doing great. And she goes, thank you. And I walked away from that feeling so, like, so many things. First of all, just impressed with her, and impressed honestly with the public, with the people around us who were, I think, giving her moral support in that moment. And honestly, the thing that I thought about then was how often it is that you might be the person who looks like they've got all their poop in a group. You might be the person who looks like you're juggling everything totally beautifully. And you might be feeling like that's a bronze medal effort, which a bronze medal effort, I'm here to remind you, is the same effort as a gold medal. And that's a really important thing when I think about the bronze medal life that I forget to include, I think, very often, which is, when you think about the Olympics, everybody who goes to the Olympics is putting their best effort in. Nobody shows up at the Olympics and gives a half-assed performance. And so if you think of it that way, the effort that the gold medalist is giving is the same as the effort that the bronze medalist is giving. It's the same as the effort as the people who didn't medal are giving. Everybody is giving their best effort. So in that moment, she might have felt like she was winning the bronze medal, and I was looking at her and thinking, that is a gold medalist if I've ever seen one. And so that's what I'm asking you to hold today, to think about through the week, is all the times that you think, I am only doing a bronze medal job here, and everybody is looking at you, and you know what they're thinking? They're thinking, that is a gold medal plus. And as much as it's not about what other people think, it also, I think, can be a useful tool from time to time to consider the possibility that what you feel is very messy can look very put together to somebody else. And so that is just a perception thing. And that's an important thing to hold on to, because sometimes that can work in your favor and sometimes it can really work against you. When things look so good and they're really hard, it can be really difficult for people to know that you need support in that moment. And it's okay to ask for help. And also, when you're down on yourself because you are feeling like it's a bronze medal day, you can know that other people are not swayed by that at all. That you indeed look like you are doing just great. And here's the thing. Here's the truth. Regardless, you're putting in a gold medal effort. You're putting in the same effort. And you are doing great. So that's my bronze medal thought for the week. Thanks for hanging with me throughout this entire story. You know, at the end of the day, people are good. People are good. Thanks for hanging out with me this week, you guys. I'll be back again next week with more bronze medal life stories, tales from the trenches. But in the meantime, in between time, keep doing you, because you're doing great.